and something tonight. I learned why they called it the Sioux.
Hmm.
I thought it was just short for Sault Ste. Marie. I don't know. This evening, or this weekend, I understood that you folks were going to be having a baptism next Sunday evening. And I thought that, since Wes and I both were speaking this evening, I thought that I would give just a little short exhortation on baptism. And it's real dear to my heart, I can assure you, because when I became a Christian, and let's all understand that you don't work your way into becoming a Christian. To become a Christian is an act. It is a choice. It is a decision. You're born here, and you got a timeline across here, your life, and then somewhere over here it ends. Sometime between the time you're born and time that ends, there better be another mark in that timeline. There better be a time when you receive Christ as your Savior. This afternoon we went fishing for a little while down at the beach at the dock, and Wes caught a fish. I have to tell you the story. We were out there, and we were asking this guy what he was fishing for, and he's, I don't know, some kind of a little striped fish. Wasn't very big anyhow. Had a great huge rod and reel about this big around. He had this little fish. We don't do that in Ontario, but anyhow. And he very graciously let Wes reel this fish up that he got on. Just here, you try it. And so he reeled it up. But as we talked to that man, we found out that when that man, who was from Raleigh, I believe he said, when he was 13 years old, he accepted Christ as his Savior. See, he knew that when we talked to him about that. And when I was 13, it was very definite. Let me ask you, could you point to a time? Now, I don't want to in any way intimidate anyone here this evening. And maybe you were raised in a Christian home. And maybe you don't remember a time. Maybe you just were taught the gospel and you was raised up loving the Lord Jesus. But if you weren't raised in a Christian home, and if you weren't raised under the gospel like that, where that became a very natural thing for you to do, to accept Christ, you will remember. For me, I can remember. It was August the 29th, 1970, 9 o'clock in the morning. See, I was nearly 25 years old. So I remember the time when I accepted Christ. But there must be that time. And as far as the Scriptures are concerned, whenever a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, they accept what Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary, the next step is baptism. You just can't get away from it. It's in the Scripture. So probably less than a year after I became a Christian, after I was saved, after I was born again, it all means the same thing, I was out at San Bernardino, California, at Arrowhead Springs, the international headquarters for Campus Crusade for Christ, and somebody told me that I should get baptized. Well, nobody had really told me that before. I was attending a church that didn't really baptize you, and so there wasn't much teaching on that. And when I got out there, someone said, you should get baptized. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, right here in the Scriptures, here it is. Get baptized. Christ commanded it. And I said, well, if he commanded, I'll get baptized. So we went over to this guy's house, and he had a swimming pool in the backyard, and he took me out there and, boom, baptized me. I got up, and I said, well, I did that. And it was no meaning. What I'm trying to tell you is my burden is that when people follow the Lord's command of baptism, they ought to know what they're doing. I'm not saying that just that he commanded it is not good. Of course that's good. And of course you ought to obey whatever the Lord commands. But baptism is so much more than that. And I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. And as I look back, I felt that those believers robbed me of a great joy of knowing exactly what I was doing when I stepped into the water and identified myself as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, time would not permit for us to do this in any great detail, and you will appreciate that tonight, and maybe during our time of fellowship and our little snack time afterwards. If you've got questions about it, come up and ask me then about it, because I know I'm not going to be able to cover it all in the next 15 minutes. I'm going to try to do as much as I can. Let me start off by saying there are at least 5 baptisms mentioned in the Bible. John the Baptist came along with the baptism of repentance. the Messiah, the King is here, and align yourself with the King. Then the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, but not so much as he was baptized by John, but he had a baptism that he said his disciples couldn't be baptized with, a baptism that of suffering and a baptism of identifying himself by suffering with sinful humanity. And then there's the baptism of fire that John talked about. He said, I baptize you with water, but one comes after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. There's a baptism of fire. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be nice to do a study on all those? It would just be great, but we can't do that tonight. But then there's what we call believer's baptism or ritual baptism or water baptism. I don't know how you want to call it or what you want to say. Just believer's baptism, I think, is good enough. So we'd ask ourselves the question, why or by what authority baptize people? Why would we tell someone here tonight, if you're a Christian, you ought to be baptized? Is that because of the traditions of this church? No. It's because that comes from Scripture. Now you lick your fingers and turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read a few verses as we go along. And we're going to answer this question first of all, why do we baptize? Or what authority do we have to do this? In Matthew, and we heard this verse already yesterday in our conference, we'll not dwell on it, but we'll just show you from Scripture. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ commanded it. Now let me say before we read this verse that there were two ordinances that the Lord Jesus Christ left for the church to carry out until He returns. And the Lord's Supper and baptism are those two. You say, why only those two? Why not this or that or something else? Well, because there is a test to see indeed what the ordinances were. Did Christ command it? Was it practiced in the book of Acts? And did the epistles expound on it? Now, if we realize that, did the Lord Jesus command it? Yes, we'll see that. Was it practiced in the book of Acts? Yes, the transitional period between law and grace. Was it expounded on in the epistles? Yes. That's the reason, dearly beloved, we don't practice things like foot washing. It just wasn't practiced in the book of Acts. It wasn't expounded on in the epistles, and the Lord Jesus didn't say, do this. He said, as I have done unto you. And so there's a simile. There was an object lesson there, and of course we believe that to be the act of serving and the act of humility. However, baptism and the Lord's Supper are definitely two that we know of that He commanded, that they practiced, and that the epistles expounded on. Now let me say this. He didn't say to you here tonight who are Christians, choose one. He didn't say they were optional. In both instances, He commanded it. This do in remembrance of me. And I'll tell you something. It was unthinkable for an Israelite not to go to Passover. Passover was that great memorial when the destroyer came into Egypt and killed the firstborn. And Passover was that great memorial of the deliverance out of bondage. And God the Father, God Jehovah, said to the nation of Israel, year after year, you are to remember me in this Passover feast. And I tell you, it was unthinkable. Could you think of an Israelite who'd say, well, I don't think I'd be going to Passover this year, you know? No, it was unthinkable. They were delivered. They knew the greatness of God, the power of God that delivered them. But you know, we have Christians who say, well, I don't know if I want to go and remember the Lord this morning. Isn't that amazing? And we have such greater deliverance than Israel ever did when they came out of Egypt. We have spiritual deliverance. And that's when we go and remember the Deliverer, the Lord Jesus. Well, baptism is not optional. It is a command. Notice in Matthew 28, Lord Jesus Christ in verse 18 said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and your King James says teach, if you'll notice the column or middle reference you might have, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world, at the end of the age. Now, they ought to notice the order. God forbid that we ever get away from this order. The order was, make disciples, baptize those disciples, teach those disciples. Sometimes we see a person come to Christ, they make a decision, and we say, well, let's put them on hold for a year and see if they mean it. That's not the order. The order is that as soon as they know, as soon as they have the assurance, as soon as they publicly confess Christ as their Savior, they don't have to know everything, brother. They should be identifying themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ as He commanded to do so. Now, He commanded it. The early church practiced it. If you want these references afterwards, I have them written down here. But you start in Acts chapter 2. They gladly received His word, were baptized. You go to Acts chapter 8. Again, they were baptized. Chapter 10, twice they were baptized. Chapter 16, chapter 18, they were baptized upon their confession of faith, upon their profession that Christ was their Lord and their Savior. They took them and they baptized them. They practiced that command, indeed. When you come to the epistles in Ephesians and in Romans, Galatians and in 1 Peter, again, the writers of the epistles to the church and to individuals give us teaching on the significance of baptism. That's the reason tonight I can stand before you and say you ought to be baptized if you're a Christian, because Christ commanded it. Well, I'd ask this question, who should be baptized? And that's not hard either. First of all, I'm glad this is being recorded, because I want to go on record as saying, not babies. Not babies. Sorry. Not babies. There is no, listen, zero, naught reference in the Scripture that ever remotely even hints that we should baptize babies. I don't know where they get it. If you've got one, please come and show me afterwards, would you? Because I've missed it. I've looked for it. I cannot find it. No, not babies. Who should be baptized? Well, it says here in this verse, disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus, those who have professed Christ as their Savior. When it comes to Acts, over and over and over, it says those that believed, disciples, believers. Again, in Acts chapter 10, it says, these have received the Holy Spirit as well as we. What does hinder them? Or they should be baptized. Can any man forbid water for these? And so, a disciple is a believer who's received the Holy Spirit. They're not three people, they're just one person. And that's professing Christian, born again into the family of God. That's who should be baptized. What's the mode? Well, the Greek word, baptizo, comes from a word that means to dip. It was used in common language in that day of dyeing a shirt or a garment or a piece of cloth. They took, a container of water and put some dye in it, and they took that garment that they wanted to dye, and they put it in there, and they sloshed it around, and they dyed it. They baptized it. They immersed it. They dipped it. They didn't take that water and stand over there and sprinkle it on that shirt until they could get it all colored the way they wanted it. They dipped it. Matthew 3 and 16, it says they came out of the water. In John 3 and 23, there was much water. In Acts 8 and 38, here is certain water. They went down into the water. They came up out of the water. Scripture verifies. To immerse. Get in. But not only that, not only the mode, but the meaning of baptism tells us the meaning of that word too. When a person gets into the tank, or I joke with some of the guys I fish with, I say, every tank in the New Testament had a fish in it, I say. They said, what? I said, yeah, every baptismal tank in the book of Acts had a fish in it. Of course, they baptized them in the river, that we know. And I assume those dirty rivers over there at least had some fish in them anyhow. But here we're talking about people going down into water. They were in a river. There was much water there. And they went down into the water. And as they went into that water, they were identifying themselves with death. The water represented the grave. They took that person, they put them underwater. And when they come up out of the water, that represented resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. That is an identification that each person has at the moment they receive Christ as their Savior. Death, burial, and resurrection. That happens immediately upon salvation. Sometime down the line, you're going to get in a tank like this, or out in the ocean, or lake, or somewhere around here, and you're going to show a picture of what's already gone on in your heart. That identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then let's say, and hurriedly, let me say, there are some modern-day applications. There are some applications of this baptism that I can apply to my life today. Now, baptism had a very, very sobering, significant meaning to it in the book of Acts and in the so-called early church, as if there is an early church and a later church, but in the beginning of the church, we could say. You see, there, and even in Muslim countries today, I understand that a person can say they're a Christian. They can even attend a Christian church. But as soon as they get baptized, that's it. Now they are marked out. Now they are a disciple. Now they are excommunicated from their home and sometimes lose their jobs and everything else. This was a little bit of a picture of what it was like in the early church. When these people were marked out, they'd say, there's another one. I saw him down to the river. He was baptized. One of those disciples baptized him. Well, I'll tell you, they were scattered abroad. They were persecuted. They were run out of town, separated from loved ones. Baptism was very, very significant. It wasn't something you played around with. It's lost its significance today. You give me enough time, I'll find a church that'll baptize your dog, I'm sure. Absolutely. You can find anything going on today in the name of Jesus Christ. And baptism doesn't have the significance that it once had. Join our church. Be baptized. Get your name on the membership. This is what you have to do to be saved. And on these arguments go. But baptism is significant. I'd like to mention four things that I believe is very significant in. Number one, when a person is baptized, it is a testimony to this Bible that I have right here before me, to the Word of God. It is a testimony. You know what you're saying when you step into the waters of baptism? You are saying, I am willing to obey this book. It's a testimony to the Word of God. I am willing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Let me read a reference for you. It's found in John chapter 14 and verse 21. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. Jesus speaking, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And again, in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Now, you want me to tell you what a good thermometer of your love for Christ is? Will you obey him or not? Will you obey him? Christ says, go and baptize disciples. Now, if you're here tonight and you are a Christian and you've never been baptized, please listen to me. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to obey than to serve. Are you listening to me? You see, you may be gifted. You may have talents. You may have a teaching ability. You may have some gifts in administration or helps or mercy or exhortation or you may be used in some way to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have all kinds of gifts and abilities. God's not interested in that. He's interested in you obeying His Word. And you know what Jesus said? You get baptized. I don't know if you have it here, but in the assemblies in Canada, we have almost an epidemic of people who want to serve, but they do not want to obey. They want to throw the distinctives of the church out, the New Testament distinctives. Oh, this is not important. This is not important. This is not. Well, let's get all these people in here and win them to Christ. Let's get all of this Christian service going. Let's do this. Let's do that. But no, let's throw this out and that out and that out and that out. And listen, it's just plain. And some of these people won't even be baptized. Oh, that's not significant. They like to break bread when it's, you know, convenient for them. But I mean, you know, but they like to serve. They like to teach. They like to preach. They like to lead in women's meetings. And they like to sing. And they like to do all these things. But they won't obey. I'll tell you, the Scriptures are so emphatic, it's better to obey than to do all these things. So when I get baptized, when I step into the water, what am I doing? I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. And I want to keep your commandments. Secondly, when I am baptized, it is an act of my life as a testimony to others. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and I shall be saved. What a better opportunity than when you come to baptism to confess Christ as your Savior. It is a wonderful opportunity to openly declare him as your Savior and as your Lord. But I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7, and I want to show you another passage here that you've maybe never considered before. Luke chapter 7. And I'm emphatic on this. I'm trying to be emphatic anyhow. It's so important. Luke chapter 7, look at verse 29. Luke chapter 7, verse 29. And all the people that heard him, in the context, it's Christ, and he's been speaking about John the Baptist. All the people that heard him and the publicans, watch it, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. Now, this is, of course, before the church began. This was a valid baptism, dispensationally, at that time. Jesus said, and all the publicans that heard him, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Now let me ask you, does God need to be justified? We hear a lot of preaching about God justifying the sinner. God declaring the sinner righteous. God imputing unto sinful man his holiness and his righteousness. And that's God justifying the sinner. Let me ask you, does God need to be justified by the sinner? Well, what does the word justified mean? It means to declare one right, to declare one righteous. Now watch. All the people that heard Christ's testimony, the publicans, they declared that God was right. And how do we know they declared that God was right? Being baptized with the baptism of John. They were identifying themselves with the program. Christ was the Messiah. John was the forerunner. The king is here. Align yourself with the king. These people were baptized, and in doing that, they said, God, you're right. God, you're righteous. God, your plan is absolutely right, and we're in accordance with that plan, and we're going to prove that we're in accordance with that plan because we're going to get baptized. A baptism of repentance. On the other hand, look at verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers, watch it carefully, rejected the counsel of God against themselves. And how do we know they rejected the counsel of God? Being not baptized of Him. That's pretty clear. Baptism was a sign. Either of aligning yourself with God's program or rejecting the counsel of God. It was just a sign. A sign. It's an act of my life demonstrating to others that I believe God is right. Or rejecting the counsel of God. Now let me say graciously, if you're here tonight and you're a believer and you've never been baptized, I want you to seriously consider that. Just seriously consider it. Let's move on to number three. The act of baptism is also a time when I remember my position in Christ. It's an act of my mind. When I get into the waters of baptism, I remember the Lord Jesus died and I died. The Lord Jesus was buried and I'm buried. The Lord Jesus was resurrected, and we won't hold you under 3 days, okay? But the Lord Jesus was resurrected, and I'm resurrected, and He was glorified, and I walk in newness of life. He, my great example. I suppose in the last 8-10 months, we've baptized about 35 people in our assembly. Just an epidemic of baptisms. And one man recently that I baptized said to me, "Hold me under." He said, "I want to feel it all." He said, "I want to feel it. Leave me down there for a little while. Don't just do that. I want to feel it," he said. He wanted to remember his position in Christ. He wanted to identify with Christ as he went into the waters of baptism. Lastly, let me say, and I'd like for you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Baptism is not only an act of my will, I'm choosing to obey, not only an act of my life demonstrating what I believe, not only an act of my mind remembering my position in Christ, but it's also an act of my heart. 1 Peter and chapter 3. And let me begin reading in verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know that when you step into the waters of baptism, you're saying this, "I'm willing to obey this book, and I want you to know it. I'm willing to obey the Lord, I want you to know it. I'm willing to let my life be a demonstration of my faith in identification with Christ, and I want you to know it. I want you to know tonight that I'm perfectly identified with the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Savior. And I want you to know tonight that I got nothing between my soul and the Savior. A clear conscience. You got a clear conscience, believer? It may be because you've never obeyed the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism. It just could be. When I am baptized, I say, God, I'm in perfect harmony with your plan. I perfectly receive and am perfectly in harmony with your command. I'm perfectly willing to demonstrate my life that I am a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I want you to know I'm holding up holy hands tonight as I get baptized. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. That's baptism. That's the application of baptism today. Just a couple of things. I'm going to let Wes preach. Baptism is not entrance into the church. And baptism is not the goal of the believer. It's the beginning. You have a whole life to live, to go on, and to work out your own salvation. I remember taking a man. I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord 6 years prior. He was in the hospital in a chronic ward. And his lungs had been blown out by a chemical explosion in a mine, and he could hardly breathe. He had all this apparatus on. 6 years later, I didn't have the heart to talk to that man about baptism. It was my fault. I should have. 6 years later, he said to me when I was visiting, he said, you know, he said, I should be getting baptized. I read it in the Bible. And I thought, this dear old man, how could you ever get baptized? Well, I'll tell you, I went to the nurse. I got him out on a 2-hour pass, and he drugged the oxygen bottle with him. Right there with this thing on. That's the way he went to the tank. And he pulled that thing off, and this dear old saint got in that tank, and we had a little handle right here, and he grabbed a hold of that handle like that. And he tried to go down, and he just couldn't bend those knees, you know. And he got down till he was about right here, and he put his head down like that, and I sprinkled him right there, right on the top of his head. And I'll tell you, there wasn't a dry eye in that meeting. You see, if you think you're too old or too sick to get baptized, let that be a witness to you. You see, he wasn't afraid of catching a cold. He wasn't afraid of dying. He wasn't afraid of anything. He wanted to have a clear conscience between his God and his own soul. That dear saint went on very, very soon to be with the Savior. But I'll tell you, he didn't have to make any excuses when he got to heaven why he wasn't baptized. Baptism is declaration. I'm saved. Baptism is dedication. I love the Lord. Baptism is determination. I'm going to serve the Lord. When you see someone get baptized, you watch them. You watch them. Because that's what they're saying to you. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. He's Lord of my life. And you watch me and see if I don't mean it. Oh, the Scriptures say, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Wes, you come up and speak. Can we sing one verse of a song? Come on up, Wes. One verse of a song just in the transition here. Number 537. Number 537. Let's sing the last verse. Only one life.